Happy Thursday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for our live show for April 2019. The show you're about to hear was recorded this past Sunday night, April 14th, here in the Be Our Guest podcast studios. And we were very excited to be joined by Matt Parrish from Wedway Radio and The 3028. And we talked about kind of the backstory of both of those shows and where they stand today. And we also, of course, took your calls. We talked about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge and how that may or may not change Walt Disney World and Disneyland. We talked about, you know, the best uses for dining credits and some of the best places to dine and best resorts to stay for honeymoons down at Walt Disney World and much, much more. Don't forget, today's show is brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. So when you have a Disney vacation on the horizon, check out themagicforless.com. All the specials are over there. Their services cost you nothing extra. And while you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote form and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. And an agent will get back to you right away, checking some availability and some pricing, and they'll be with you to plan the next great Disney adventure. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Again, thanks so much for streaming or downloading today's show. Let's get to it. Matt Parrish joins me today for the live Be Our Guest podcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to the April 2019 Be Our Guest podcast live show here on Facebook. Thanks so much to everybody who is tuned in live here on a Sunday night as we record live. It's April 14th, 2019. We're going to have a good time for the next hour, taking your calls at 407-413-9395, talking all things Disney. And joining me today, we have a very special guest. Pam is not able to make it because, I don't know, I think they're mourning that her Pittsburgh Penguins are down 0-3 to the Islanders in the playoffs, and Ricky's still off in Europe. I don't know if she's coming home, but we have somebody awesome here. So Matt Parrish joining us tonight from the 3028, and glad to say Wedway Radio is back. Matt, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. A little show me state pride here on the show.
That's great. So I'm glad you're doing well. I just got to say right off the top of the show that, you know, with Wedway Radio back, and we'll talk a little 3028 as we go tonight and take your calls if anybody wants to talk about either of the shows. But I'm so glad that you brought back the big show, as I call it, you know, because I've always enjoyed that one. But I think I enjoy it because I don't have to do the research, and that has to be a really tough show to do because, you know, we just get on here and talk about current events, talk about resorts, not a lot of research, but a lot of opinions and just fun talk. But glad you brought that back. I know it takes a lot of time.
It does take a lot of time. And, you know, I have incorporated more news recently just because the other side does take so much time. So I'm kind of balancing the history shows and the news shows together and then some special features. But it's definitely, you know, when you're a one-man show, it's challenging.
I can't imagine, you know, because I have Pam and Ricky to help shoulder the load here. And, you know, like I said, we don't have to do all the heavy lifting of the research. So how are you managing that now? Because now you have the 3028, a great weekly show with Kevin. And you guys, I like your Listeries. I like, you know, I learned a lot about Alani and the things I got to see with the iPads, the little frogs or whatever, trolls. Or I can't remember what they were. I haven't been out there either. But, you know, it's fun because you guys kind of go all over the place there. But then you have Wedway. So how do you get all that done in a week? Because we do three shows, but I think that's even more taxing than what we do here.
I'll be honest with you. I work a compressed work schedule. So I have 4 days on and 3 days off, and my wife works weekends. So I just kind of cram it. Those Sunday mornings are super busy, and I'm either researching or editing or recording. I'm just putting it all into like a select number of hours. So just working it all in and then making sure the kids get to the park, and, you know, my son Clark gets to his soccer game and doing all the dad stuff too.
Soccer's big in Springfield still, huh?
Yeah. Oh man. Soccer is huge. And it's hard to believe too, because this is a baseball town like St. Louis, but yeah, soccer for the kids is a really big deal here. And we love it. He plays really hard. He's not, you know, he's not Pele, but nobody hustles more than that kid. So it's very fun to watch.
He's the Rex Hudler of Springfield.
He is. I'm never going to tell him you said that though. Mr. Charlie Hustle.
That's it. All right. Well, I know that we have, you know, a lot of listeners, and most of our listeners listen to both of our shows. I'm quite confident of that. But if they haven't, give us a little background. Like, how did you, you know, become such a Disney fan and get started with the podcasting and, you know, traveling to Disney as a regular thing? Just, you know, in a nutshell, explain your backstory.
probably like you, Mike, a lot of driving down to Walt Disney World when I was a kid, 80s, 90s. And then, you know, my brother and I, Nate, he said he wanted to do the show, and I was working in radio, and we kind of put it all together. And there were a couple of shows that we liked, and some we kind of felt like we could find a niche somewhere. And so that's what we did. And we started with the history show, and it kind of takes a while to find your groove. It probably took a year or so for Wedway Radio to kind of find its place. And then from there, we just kept doing shows and doing more and more shows, and we'd have ideas for more. And so we just kept doing that. And he's, you know, Nate is always, he's a busy guy. He coaches soccer and he works, and, you know, he's got kids and all that stuff. So I never expected that we would do the show for even 9 years together, but we did. And so that was great. And then now he's kind of taken a hiatus. So I've kind of stepped in, and I like, you know, doing the shows and making time for the shows personally. It's a good hobby for me, good and constructive. So I kept doing that. And then Kevin, he came along when Nate was kind of in a hiatus, and I told Kevin, hey, we should probably start a show that's not Wedway Radio, that's mine and his, so that I didn't kind of step on Nate's toes. So we started the 3028 podcast, and it kind of has its own identity because Kevin is a unique guy, very interesting. And so we kind of, you know, pair our personalities there, and it becomes a totally different show. And it's all about, as you said, listery and history. So listery is just our lists, and we list everything. It could be like attractions that have an upstairs or, you know, an elevator or whatever. And then, so those are our lists. This weekend's was a show all about parades, daytime and nighttime parades that we kind of like and have enjoyed for a long time. And so we do that in history. And then on the Wedway show, I totally do something different. So I never let those two things be the same.
Yeah, I look at the, you know, Wedway's more of, you know, not that it's so serious, but it's more of like a 60 Minutes type thing where you're really going to, you're going to learn something. You know what I'm saying? You're going to take a more deep dive in a serious topic where, you know, on 3028, you kind of cut loose and talk about, you know, listery of the bathrooms, you know, or like the upstairs, you know? And I like that though, because the thing is, and this is why I like the podcast that I listen to, is that, you know, even a listery show that talks about, you know, upstairsology, that makes my next trip better. As many times as I've been, now I'm like, man, does that place have, because, you know, even if you didn't even mention it, now I'm looking at like everywhere. I'm like,
does that have an upstairs?
Can I go up there? Or is that a fake window? No, is somebody looking down at me right there? You know, and I like this stuff because it's a fun topic to listen to, because I listen to all my shows on runs early in the morning. So it's like,
yes,
you know, you guys are there with me, but it really does make you think. And that's, you know, it's not like, hey, we have 1 through 8, but it's like, hey, you know, and a lot of people are like, you missed this one. It's the most obvious. And I love that stuff.
Yeah, it's really fun. And what I love about it is Disney is an evolving, you know, location. I mean, the parks are evolving all the time. And so when you go to Epcot today, obviously what you're seeing is not what you saw in 1987, but the remnants of that stuff is there and the artifacts are still there. And so we kind of include those where we can. That's why it's both listery and history, because even if we're doing a list show, it's not about the best 10 snacks you can get today. We try to incorporate as much of Disney history as we can into the show. And then it becomes just fun. And some things are just so ridiculous. They turn into a joke all on their own, or, you know, a conversation all on their own. So it's really fun to do. And, you know, I love podcasting. As I mentioned, it's a great constructive hobby, just like jogging is. And so I try to find time, and I'm so appreciative that we've had so many good listeners over the year, just like here on the Be Our Guest show.
Yeah, I mean, how can you? We've both been so blessed. I mean, we're, you know, 11 years of podcasting, and, you know, getting to have people that have been there with you since day one. That's what shocks me. I mean, I know that, you know, with podcasting, people are going to stumble upon you and listen for a show here, a show there, maybe a couple weeks. But the folks who've stuck with us for over a decade, that is ridiculous. And I'm so appreciative of that.
And I guess it's kind of like having, you know, turning on TBS and Friends is on there. And it's like, oh, I'm just going to watch Friends, right? And I know the characters, I know what they're going to do, but I still enjoy it. And I guess the way that you and I do that is the same way that people sort of enjoy the show. And that's kind of what I, you know, that's what I think of every time I make a show. I'm like, hopefully this makes somebody's day or week a little bit better. Maybe they're going through something tough. And I know people who have listened to the show that have gone through things, cancer or whatever. And they're like, hey, your show, you know, made my time in the hospital better. And I'm like, I can't even believe I just had that impact. So it's just a small amount of time for me. And hopefully it's enough fun that people keep coming back.
And I know, you know, I'm a little bit older than you, but it's kind of the dream, you know, like when I was, you know, in my teens, I always kind of wanted to work in radio. It was my thing. I was the DJ at the local skating rink, you know, and it was fun. And my dad worked in radio, and it was like, man, I'd love to work in radio, except that my dad has been fired more than like 3 times.
Oh, hang on.
Well, let's get this call here before I tell my dad's getting fired stories in radio and why I became a teacher so that I would have a steady income. But here we go. Let's see. All right, caller. Hey, you're on the line. Who's joining us?
Hey, this is Morgan from Virginia.
Hey, Morgan. Can you hear Matt?
Hey.
Yeah, I can hear.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, I can hear both of you.
Good deal. How can we help
you?
How
are you guys doing?
Doing awesome. So
I've been thinking recently, my boyfriend and I want to honeymoon next year in Disney World around September time. What are some must-dos in both of your opinions?
You've called the honeymoon hotline here.
Yeah,
this is Delilah. I'm gonna jump in on
yeah,
this.
Go ahead, really no, this is all you. You're the love doctor. Go for it.
I am the love doctor. I'm gonna tell you what. Congrats to the Cavaliers, by the way. September is my favorite time to go to Walt Disney World. It's still kind of hot for the summer, but you can still hit the pools and that kind of thing. Here's the must do's if I'm going on a honeymoon. You got to have a super table service dining somewhere, right? So that could be California Grill or Le Cellier, one of those places you have to include on that honeymoon. The other thing I would say, because it's September, you have to do Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party because it has absolutely the best fireworks and parade, and I stand by that.
Oh, yeah, that's an awesome idea. I've actually never done the Halloween party before, but it's something I've always wanted to do. And I always forget that it starts in September. So,
August.
Yeah, that's
August.
It keeps moving back. Doesn't it?
It does. It's going to be May before we know it.
Yeah, seriously. Well, awesome. Yeah, those are both really good tips. Thank you, guys.
Well, so what do you have on the plan so far? Like, what in your mind's eye? What are you hoping? And kind of sketching out in your brain right now.
So the last time, so I'm a Disney fanatic. I go all the time. My boyfriend has only been, I think, three times, and him and I went Ooh. Last March together. And I am a huge BOMA fan, so I took him to BOMA. And he instantly fell in love with Animal Kingdom Lodge. So we want to stay there, but we want to take some resort days and like do some park days. So after listening to the show a lot, I'm considering a split stay now and doing a few days at Animal Kingdom Lodge where we would just be staying there and doing some resort stuff, and then possibly switching over to Riverside. Is what I'm thinking right now, and that's when we would be heavy on the park.
I like it, but my suggestion for that would be to do Riverside first, Animal Kingdom Lodge second, because especially if you're going to do more parks towards the front end of the trip and then kind of relax and have resort time in the back end, because Animal Kingdom Lodge is more, it's more of a destination. I mean, Riverside's great, but I mean, you're going to want to stay at the lodge and enjoy the pools and the animals and stuff like that. It's, you always want to end with the deluxe, and it's, I mean, that resort, you don't have to leave. It's amazing.
It really is. And, I've never seen it in the daytime, so I've never really gotten to see the animals.
You have to do that.
That's something I'm really looking forward to. Yeah, that's something that I definitely want to soak up while we're there.
So. Make sure to get a Savannah View room. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, plus if you're staying over at Riverside or even in French Quarter, you can take that Sasagula River Cruise. Yes. Over to downtown Disney or Disney Springs. I'm never gonna get that right anymore.
The Village Marketplace.
the Disney Village Marketplace. And you can, especially on the honeymoon, think of all the table service spots and just, club atmosphere things that you can do with your significant other there that, you don't have to drive. And probably that river cruise is going to be a little bit better than a bus coming back. So that would be a lot of fun too. Or if you're just doing park days on that day too, I mean, Riverside's a great joint. And I actually like Riverside as a resort too. There's a lot of walking around. The Old Man Island is really nice as far as the pool goes, has that poolside bar there too. So two great resorts, by the way.
Yes. Love it.
Thank you. Yeah. We're both pretty excited about it, but thank you guys so much for all your help. And Mike, I listen to the podcast 3 times a week. Sometimes I go back and find older episodes just to get some good ideas. So thank you guys for all you do.
Love that. Thank you very, very much. And congratulations and enjoy that honeymoon.
Thank you so much.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.
All right, three. I almost gave my old home phone number, which isn't hooked up anymore.
314.
Exactly. Like, what am I saying? We don't have that phone number. I haven't had it for like 3 years. So you can call it if you want because it's disconnected. But yeah, we can call in 407-413-9395. You're more likely to get a hold of us there. All right, we have a question here from Chip in the chat. That's a good, Twitter handle here. He said, putting my kids to bed seems to always happen during the call-in shows. Wife and three kids looking at going with the in-laws, just jumped, who have never gone and don't get why my wife and I love it. Best places to stay, maybe moderate, maybe two single rooms, or do we get a two-bedroom? You know, I would say that if your in-laws really aren't understanding the whole Disney thing, I probably wouldn't share a villa. I would get two rooms to kind of give yourself some space. Matt, what would you say in a situation like this?
I would totally agree with that. Plus, you know, I mean, you don't have to split the bill that way. That's always good.
True.
Keeping
true.
Finances separate. As far as like where to stay, a moderate, you know, I guess that kind of depends on what their interest is. If you feel like they aren't into Disney, maybe a value is not good because it's just like, bah, Disney.
Yes.
Whereas a moderate's going to have more, you know, thematic elements that they might want to explore. I've always felt like, you know, as a family, if we were ever going to bring our in-laws down, that's what we would do. Not necessarily a deluxe, but a value is what we do. Maybe French Quarter, because there's a lot of, it's not a huge resort. It's not overwhelming, but, you know, there's a lot of cool stuff to explore. And like I said before, the Sasagula River Cruise are going to be things at that resort that you can't do at other resorts that are specific to Disney resorts that you can't do if you go to Vegas or if you go to DC or whatever.
I will say the first place I stayed on site at Walt Disney World was French Quarter way a long time ago. And, you know, back when it was still just Port Orleans.
Yeah.
And, you know, what sold me on the whole Walt Disney World experience was we pulled up at night and you go under that canopy with all the lights, you know, those white light circle, you know, bulbs. And then you go under and there's jazz music playing. You're checking in. You got all the iron. And, you know, you had all these smells from the food court, and then you walk through the building and you're going down through those little streets at night with jazz music playing.
Awesome.
And all. I mean, I was sold before I even got to the room, even before I even got into the theme parks. I was like, this place is like none other. So, I think that the thing is, like you kind of mentioned, Matt, is that it's not Disney characters knocking you over the head. It just took me somewhere.
Right.
I've never been to New Orleans, you know, but I've heard of it and seen it on TV. And it was like, whoa, this is amazing. It took me away. And I was sold ever since.
Yeah, you can have so much fun at resorts that are just specific to their theme. And I think that's just the real strength of Walt Disney World when you compare it, you know, to Disneyland, is that you can go to Walt Disney World and stay at one of those resorts and never even go to a theme park if you're not really a Disney fan. I mean, we've often talked about just going down if it's a 6 month or so where we don't have passes or don't feel like investing in passes and just going to resorts and pools. And I think anybody, doesn't matter if you're into Disney or not, would enjoy that. I mean, just so much to do that's outside the theme park.
And we did that once because we were going on a cruise in like 3 days or 2 days, and we're cruising, yes, out of Miami. So we're driving. So we stopped two nights in Orlando and then went down. And it was actually so relaxing because knowing that you
awesome.
Didn't have passes to the parks, there was no temptation. And it was like, oh my gosh, I don't have to get up at 7:30 and rush to try to make rope drop. You know, we played putt-putt. We went to, you know, Disney, Downtown Disney at the time. We went to other resorts and had lunch and just walked around.
Yes.
Oh, God, it was awesome. Like, I keep saying I want to do it again, but I don't. But it would be great.
I would also say this, especially for someone who hasn't gone and doesn't really understand the Disney thing, don't overwhelm them with the theme parks. If you're going for 5 days, maybe three of those days are theme park days and two of those days are not. And that way, you know, I think that's really what hurts people is when they don't, you know, they don't have a background at Disney. They go to Disney, Walt Disney World or Disneyland, and think they have to cram it all in. And I think us as Disney fans, sometimes we feel like when we bring someone to Disney, we have to show them all this stuff,
yes,
on the first trip. And we overwhelm them. We smother them. You know, you don't want to smother him. So I would heed that warning as well.
Yeah, you're running down Main Street. This is awesome. Look,
yeah,
this is awesome. Look,
that's
even more awesome. Yeah, exactly.
The confectionery. We have to, I mean, like, just take it easy and like, just give them a break and under, you know, I would just say that.
It's so true. We've all done it.
I did that to my wife the first trip. And oh my God, I'm surprised we ever went back.
All right. We have a caller on the line. Hey, who's joining us from the 612 area code?
Hey, Mike, it's Will, and I'm actually in Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Will from Buffalo, what's going on tonight?
Not too much. I had a quick question. We're doing a trip in September, and it's our first time staying at the Yacht Club. And kind of the thing we're a little concerned with would be, like, quick service,
options for like lunchtime, like on pool days and stuff like that. And we're just trying to figure that part out.
So I've stayed at Yacht Club a couple times. What about you, Matt? Do you have, because that is kind of a concern for Yacht and Beach. Now it's gotten better because the Beach Club now is a place called the Marketplace, but it's still, I still say the values and the moderates have way better food courts than the yes. deluxes, except for maybe Wilderness Lodge. I like Roaring Fork. And I like the Mar at Animal Kingdom Lodge. What do you say to Mark to that? Or Mark, Matt.
It's okay. I'll go by whatever name.
Giant Springfield.
I totally agree. So was the question like where you should go? I mean, because here's the thing. If you're at the Yacht Club and you're just looking for counter service, I mean, you have Beach Club there and you have Boardwalk there too. And so everything's kind of close. You don't necessarily have to do, you know, Yacht Club stuff.
Yeah, and I think I've kind of, well, the last couple of trips we've gone to Pop and it's kind of been like more park-centric focus. So we're kind of changing up doing the deluxe this time. I think my family's a little more excited about just kind of relaxing and stuff like that. But I know when I've been doing some just reading online and stuff like that, it doesn't seem like there's too many good options because at Pop you have that great food court there. And then I was thinking to add more Park Hopper tickets or more days and then just go into Epcot or Hollywood Studios for lunch and then come back to the pool. So it's just, I'm just trying to think of any options right now.
Well, so if you're staying there and want to have a pool day, we've done this a few times, and we'll actually be there this year for the 4th of July. We're staying at Yacht as well. Hurricane Hannah's right there at the pool. They do have some items. They have like burgers and dogs. And I mean, if it's, you're not looking for anything fancy, but you're having a pool day, that's a good option. They have drinks as well. Obviously, it's a bar. If you want to get out of the pool, would not have to totally clean up. Another great option is the fountain over at the Swan and Dolphin. It's kind of like a beaches and cream type, you know, they got milkshakes and burgers and really good burgers and fries. You know, it's kind of the same fare that you would get at beaches and cream. And of course you got beaches and cream. You can make an ADR there. So those are options, but yeah, it's not like a food court. So you're kind of out there, but you know, you got some other good options.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, that helps. Yeah. Cause it's so surprising that, I mean, you have like these great resorts, but it's kind of like, cause we're doing the dining plan. It's like, okay, well, we have tons of options for table service, the quick service. It seems like it's a little lacking right now.
Yeah. But Beach Club again does have a new place called the Marketplace. They're trying to, you know, make it a little better, but it still doesn't rival, you know, a good Riverside food court or, you know, Art of Animation, right. Pop Century kind of thing.
They weren't set up for families in the same way that those moderates and those values were. I mean, even look at the Polynesian, right? They're just now getting additions to what used to be like the Captain Cook's area and like just now getting Pineapple Lanai and that area expanding. But prior to that, I mean, yeah, you just had like one or two restaurants. And that was the same for Yacht and Beach Club. I mean, that's why Beaches and Cream was so popular. You know, both because it's awesome and also because there isn't a whole lot else over there.
True. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Perfect. Right. Well, thanks for the guy. Thanks for the help, guys.
All right. Thanks for the call. You have a good night. Thank you.
You too.
All righty. 407-413-9395. I know we had another caller trying to get in there, so give us a call back. We'll get you right on. Sean in the chat has a question about Hoop-Dee-Doo or the Luau at the Poly. Early planning of a 2020 trip. We'll be reaching out when the packages are released. Second question, favorite moderate. I'll go with my favorite moderate right now. It's Coronado Springs. It's just on the, well, I love the others, and I say it's always the last one I stayed at, which is pretty true because I stayed at Coronado for Princess Half Marathon. It's just, it's the most deluxe of the moderates. But I mean, Caribbean Beach, that could be popping back up. I haven't been there in a while, so I don't know. What. Give him thoughts on the Hoop-Dee-Doo and Luau and your favorite moderate, Matt.
My favorite moderate is probably going to be Riverside or French Quarter. And that's mainly because of either pool or extra transportation or something. And you don't really have rooms. Like sometimes with Caribbean Beach, you know, they have those pirate rooms, but they're so far from transportation. And I feel that way about Coronado. I don't dislike it, but like sometimes you're way out there. And so that's why I like the smaller Port Orleans or French Quarter Riverside. And then as far as Hoop-Dee-Doo versus the Luau, I mean, okay. I think the show is better at Hoop-Dee-Doo, and I think the food is better at Hoop-Dee-Doo.
Yes.
But walking through the Polynesian at night and you can stop and get a drink or whatever and you're by the Seven Seas Lagoon, I mean, you can't get that at Hoop-Dee-Doo. So, you know, you kind of have to, you have to figure out which of those things you're more interested in. Do you want to be able to hang out somewhere after the show? Because that's the poly.
Yep.
And if you want to just do the show thing and make that like the big event, that's hoop-de-doo.
Okay, so say somebody's giving you a ticket right now. They're going to comp you a hoop-de-doo or a luau. Which one are you taking tonight?
I'm taking hoop-de-doo.
See, I'm going luau, even though you're right. The show and the food is better at hoop-de-doo. But God, I love the luau. I don't know. It's so corny. The show is just like,
it's really
corny, but I like the ribs and stuff. That's just me. So
I also kind of like, I mean, both of those are awesome too, because you're talking about original resorts. And so that makes it really special. And then, you know, if you're going to stay, or the bad thing about hoop-de-doo is if you're staying at a moderate or something, you got a bus over.
Yeah.
And then they have this special bus back. But if you're staying nearby and you can take that, you know, Bay Lake cruiser on Bay Lake there, now that's cool. And so that makes it nice afterward. But I just feel like, you know, going there and then you see the show and then you leave, it's all like bus specific.
It is. It's crazy. All right, we have another caller on the line, 734 area code. Hayes joining us.
Hi, guys. Hi, Matt. Hi, Mike. It's Teresa.
Hey, Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm doing fantastic here in Southwest Mo. Where are you calling from?
Michigan. Calling from the mitten.
There you go,
from
the mitten. We're
calling from the mitten.
The mitten. Go
Tigers. Okay. Oh, good. The Tigers may have a rough one this year too, but sympathy.
I'm seeing that. Yeah.
What's going on?
So I have a quick question about a trip that I'm planning for my sisters and I in May. Two of them have never been to Disney before. So a couple questions. Number one, I feel like I'm trying to just cram way too much in a day. In fact, I have us at 8 a.m. breakfasts, and I have us staying past fireworks at night. And I want them to experience everything. I just don't know how to scale it back. Any tips?
We just talked about this. Just don't go down Main Street saying, that's awesome. Check it out. That's so awesome. It's the best thing. Best cinnamon roll. Best cotton candy.
Here's my best tip, okay? Yes, you want to do mm-hmm. that stuff, especially for people who have never done it before. You want to be able to include it. Do it on separate days. So you're going to do the breakfast thing. That's one day. You're going to do the fireworks thing. Make that a totally different day, because if you try to cram those into one day, then you're doing exactly what you don't want to do to people who have never been.
Yes. I'm going to completely exhaust them, I feel like.
Yes. Yes,
my
you
second
are.
Question. My second question is, one of my sisters gets really bad motion sickness, and okay. I'm a little concerned about it because the other sisters love the thrill rides. So do you have any tips on which rides not to take her on, the one that has motion sickness?
Flight of Passage. That makes me want to hurl.
No.
the Slinky Dog coaster.
That doesn't bother me. As long as I'm outside, simulators get me. I would say Star Tours, the teacups, and... Was the other? I had a third one. Mission Space for sure. Don't do that one. That's not good.
A lot of people don't like Everest either because of the backwards swing, and they feel like, okay, you're going forward and then you're coming back. I mean, the kind of motion sickness I get is that one, like the seaside, the ship at the carnival that goes back and forth.
Yes.
That's the kind of motion sickness I get. So anything that's like that, I totally avoid. But like my mother, she gets motion sickness on everything. So it's hard for me to judge like what is going to send this person over the top.
And I would say
thanks,
too, you
guys,
know,
I really appreciate it.
Well, one more thing too, obviously, you know, if you're, mm-hmm. if you're kind of iffy on something and they're kind of like, maybe I'll give it a shot. Do that last. Cause the, you know, the worst thing you're going to do is yes. do something like that 9:30 in the morning and they're feeling off for the rest of the day. Because I remember Six Flags, like Matt was just talking about, we had a ride called the Buccaneer, and that thing would just go whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
It didn't even go upside down, but I mean, it just messed me up so bad.
Yeah.
Thanks
That's for the
awesome.
Call.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good night.
Bye.
Thanks, Teresa. Bye. All right. Yeah. And you guys talk. Oh, we got another one. Man, we're coming in hot. Coming in hot. Mark Yerkes calling from the greater Chicago area, Plainfield, Illinois. What's up, Mark?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Not much. You have your own line. That's why I knew it was you. Calling in on the hotline.
The red line.
That's exactly it.
At the risk of turning this into the baseball show, go White Sox and go Cards.
Hey.
Big
win today against the Yanks. I was watching that one.
I probably should have saved that for last because, Matt, I have my questions are going to be directed more towards you.
Okay.
What tips and hints would you give to a – Disney World veteran that's going to Disneyland for the first time?
Oh, I love this question. Mike, have you been to Disneyland yet?
No, I'm a terrible Disney podcaster. I have not. I know.
Okay. So when I first started going to Disneyland as someone who grew up with Walt Disney World, California Adventure was probably not worth my time, but I did go. So the biggest thing I can say as far as Disneyland goes for Walt Disney World people is your feet aren't going to hurt at the end of the day. You could like wear flip-flops, which is amazing. I would say go to those attractions that you have never experienced. There's some that are, you know, duplicates that are like, okay, this is almost the same. Like Pirates, people are going to tell you, oh, it's so different, but it's almost the same as far as the attraction. That is one you should probably duplicate. But like, if you've never been on Storybook Land Canal Boats, you've never been on the Matterhorn, never been on the submarines, I mean, those are the kinds of things I would do. Spend time on Main Street, do the Carnation Cafe, which is something you can't do at Walt Disney World. I would just definitely invest your time in those things that aren't duplicates, and you're going to really enjoy. And then, you know, work in some of those duplicates too. Give yourself definitely 2 days at Disneyland though.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to have 5 day tickets. I'm going for a work conference, but so we'll have 2 full days in the parks, and then I'll have at least, you know, the 3 other evenings to do most of the exploring. So we should be able to cover everything.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have you're going to have a ton of time, which is great. I mean, the first time I went there, I had 1 day and I was trying to cram as much stuff in there as I could. And, you know, there's so many things that are going to blow your mind. I mean, just spending time in New Orleans Square and, you know, hanging out in Fantasyland and even Toontown, which you don't get to experience, you know, on the East Coast anymore. Those kinds of things are fun. But, you know, what I love about Disneyland is the really old stuff, like walking by Walt's apartment that was in the firehouse, or just going to the confectionery there, which is like so small. And there's a lot of quaint little nooks and spaces that, you know, at the time when they first built Disneyland, we're like, okay, we'll do something with this later. And, you know, there's just amazing things. I would get yourself the Disneyland Encyclopedia, which is a text that I use a lot for research, but it's got a lot of old cool stuff in it that you can look through. And even if that attraction isn't there today, like if you're walking through Tomorrowland, you'd be like, oh, well, this is where, you know, the Circarama was. It's now Star Tours. Or you can, you know, you're gonna pick up on things that most Disneylanders won't, especially if you have a text to kind of check out first. But you're gonna love Disneyland. I mean, it's gonna blow your. It's like having another Disney. If you grew up with Disney World, it's like having another Disney World that has even more attractions. It's just, it's unbelievable.
Just in a smaller space.
Yeah, just in a smaller space with more attractions, like. And more restaurants. Like, there's just, it's going to blow your mind.
Now, Mark, I forget when you're going. Are you going before May 31st or after May 31st?
Right before. So we'll be 18th through the 25th of May.
Good. Hey, hang on. Don't hang up.
I'm not. So, but I think that's good though, Mark, because I would want to, and again, I'm not going to get this opportunity now, and I'm kind of kicking myself that I'd want to see Disneyland pre Galaxy's Edge, because I think it's really going to change the dynamic of everything out there once that opens.
Yeah, and that was when they announced that, I was so glad that we were going to miss it, just because of, one, because of the crowds, and two, because, like you say, I want to experience Disneyland before that.
Yeah, because, I mean, as great as it's going to be, and, I mean, we saw a lot about, you know, what's coming this weekend in Celebration up in Chicago, but I think a part of the Disneyland quaintness is going to be gone here, you know, in a couple months. It's kind of sad. I mean, you know, Walt Disney World and Disneyland always need to be changing. That was Walt's goal. Okay. But then again, I think, you know, Disneyland, the reason I really want to get out there is to experience the quaintness of the park. And I think it's going to just become more magnificent and more, you know, it's going to be a great destination, but Galaxy's Edge is going to change the park forever, I think.
I agree. And that's the other thing from my perspective is I'm not really a Star Wars fan. So I want to see Disneyland, you know, pre that, because I guess my opinion would be a whole lot different if I was a huge Star Wars fan.
I think you're going to love Disneyland. Even the Star Wars stuff is really tucked into the back of the park, and it's going to make the park more congested. But I think that you're going to, I mean, all the stuff that you're wanting to experience as somebody who probably appreciates the history of Disney is exploring Walt Disney World for many, many years. You're going to love the front end of the park, and maybe the only land that you'll be disappointed with is Tomorrowland, but you've got the Matterhorn there too and the submarines. This is my favorite textbook. I'm giving away a trade secret of my research here. I absolutely love this book. I've got to meet this Strotter author someday because he has given me so much information over the years. But check out that book if you can, the Disneyland Encyclopedia. It's so good. And I also wanted to say, if you're looking for something tasty to drink, we have Crown Town for a White Sox fan and a Cardinals fan here. We have Crown Town Ale on tap here at my house. So in case you ever want to stop by. It's a 2015 World Series ale. I was just going to throw that at you.
It's what they dumped on Bo Kane's head in the after the game. Oh, that's funny.
I appreciate it, guys.
All right, Mark, take care, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
All right, see you.
He's going to have a blast.
Oh, my gosh. So you don't think that Galaxy's Edge is going to change the guest experience all that much? Yeah, I just think it might just overrun the place. I don't know, because I don't have context.
It's going to overwhelm it with patrons, but you know, I think if you're going there and your focus isn't Galaxy's Edge, you're still going to get tons of old Disneyland. I mean, they didn't really overrun the theme park with it. They replaced, you know, areas that were in the back of Frontierland, and I know they reshaped the Rivers of America and stuff, but like, it's not really going to change, you know, your experience in New Orleans Square, any of the structural things. Those are all there. Main Street's still there. Everything's pretty much the same. It's just that you have this giant thematic land in the back of the park, which is interesting, but we'll have to see. I will say one more thing. Everybody says get Max Pass when you go to Disneyland. That was not there when I was there. It's not. It's a Fast Pass service, but you pay for it the day of. It's like $15 a person. Everybody says to do it.
Yeah. I got to get out there. I'm just, I know. The whole thing is you get, and I think as some of our people, you know, listening tonight might actually understand what I'm saying. You pay so much for a Walt Disney World annual pass. Okay. So, and I'm cheap, you know, like, and I mean, it kills me, but I know too. I'm going for races and I know I go every summer for our family vacation. That's just what we do. And so, you know, with a family of four, by the time I'm in four annual passes to Walt Disney World, it hurts me to have to go out there and buy tickets along with airfare and hotel, which is more expensive out there. So, you know, I'm dying to go to a Dodgers game and an Angels game and to see some of the Southern California attractions as well as Disneyland. But it's just one of those things like, we already have an annual pass to Walt Disney World. Let's just go down there.
It's a way better. If you're coming from the Midwest, Missouri, and you want to go to Disneyland or Walt Disney World, the theme park of Disneyland is going to be better, obviously, than the Magic Kingdom. But the experience of Walt Disney World as a whole is so much better than Disneyland. I stand by that because you go to Walt Disney World and you take in the Magical Express. You don't worry about a car. You can't do any of those things if you go to Disneyland. You can go to the John Wayne Airport and get a shuttle over, but it's not the same. I mean, it's not really affordable to stay on property either.
But I still have never heard a Walt Disney World fanatic, which obviously we talk to tons of folks just like us who are just sold. You know, we go multiple times a year and every year and so forth. And, you know, I still haven't heard from somebody that went to Disneyland and said, didn't meet my expectations. There's not a person.
No, because it will meet your expectations. And now with California Adventure being a much better theme park, I mean, that's 3 days now that you have at Disneyland where you're still not going to see everything with two parks. So, you know, that says a whole lot. And that's a beautiful park, the way that they've refurbished that. And I really, you know, recommend that people do it if they go there. MaxPass. Right. She said Jennifer Gentry Bates said something about MaxPass here, and she's absolutely right. If you're going to get MaxPass, which is that, you know, it's a fee service for FastPass, you've got to get it first thing in the morning.
Yep, that is true. All right, so let me get the phone number out there again, 407-413-9395. Give us a call, 407-413-9395. The phone lines have been kind of clogged up, but they're open right now. And let me ask you this. So with Galaxy's Edge coming online out on the West Coast into May and then end of August in Florida, what are your thoughts on those first couple of – what's it going to be like that first week at both locations? I mean, is it going to be – as crazy as I'm imagining, or are we just blowing it out of proportion because we've been looking forward to it for so long and we just lost Matt? We'll get him back here. So I'll give my opinion until we get Matt. We lost his camera here, so it happens sometimes. So let's come right back in. Matt, if you can still hear me, click on the link. But give us a call, 407-413-9395. What do you think it's going to be like at the end of May, in the end of August, and I also put it in the chat. You know, I'm hoping that we've been waiting so long for this to happen, and Matt's coming back, that possibly, I don't know, possibly, maybe we've, there you are, you're back, good. So I'm just kind of, that happens sometimes on BeLive. So I'm just kind of stalling because I'm wondering, have we blown this out of proportion because we've been looking forward to this for 5 years, or is it just going to be like, people are going to be getting in line, like that one meme back at the Florida Welcome Center. In Jasper, Florida, they're going to be getting their orange juice, and this is where the line starts to get on the Smuggler's Run.
Are you asking me?
Yeah, what do you think? I mean, what's it going to be like the first week?
I think at Disneyland, it's going to be a totally different experience than Walt Disney World, because in Walt Disney World, it's going to be tucked into that one park that, you know, nobody's been going to for 10 years. So it's all going to be, you know, a push in that direction. And I think it does pull crowds out of the other park. I mean, think about how sparse Epcot's going to be for a while, just because it's such a massive park, and it's just going to pull patrons into Hollywood Studios with both of those lands opening in consecutive years. Yeah, I think it's, but at Disneyland, man, I think those, you know, Max Pass is going to be a really big deal, because now there's more people in the park, and now Peter Pan's going to be longer, and Pirates is going to have a longer line, just because the sheer fact that you have this volume of people coming to the parks, they're not going to go there and do one thing. Mm-hmm. They're going to hang around all day, and now they're in line for everything else. And so I think it's going to be a much bigger deal at Disneyland than it will be at Walt Disney World.
But I think what they're doing at Disneyland, and they haven't announced this for World yet, with that kind of reservation system to get into the land, where if you're staying at an on-site hotel,
yes,
you get to get one reservation or whatever. They're not calling it a fast pass. They're just calling it basically a reservation.
Priority booking.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I think that's about as proactive as Disney can be, because, you know, I think that if you have, and people just line up, even if you don't want people to line up, you see them for iPhone, you know, not as much anymore, but when people want to get something, they will line up, even if people say, you really don't need to line up. I mean, you just see it. We're just, that's how humans are. But I think they're trying to avoid that, you know, 7 mile line at Disneyland. But I still think there'll be a line, you know, even if they say, don't do it. But okay, I'm standing here.
There was a 6 switchback line in the Tree of Life area to get into Pandora, the World of Avatar. 6 switch lines at the Tree of Life just to get into the land. So they're going to have an issue just with that crowd flow there. But I think they're going to be really proactive with the crowd flow. The problem is Disneyland struggles with crowd flow as it is. If you've ever tried to watch Fantasmic or something, I mean, there's just nowhere to go.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I'm debating whether to go down to Walt Disney World that Labor Day weekend to check it out, because Ricky, I think, is going down. And I don't know, man. I might just want to be there. It's one of those things, like, even if it's just that I was there when, and I don't even know if I would even get into the land, because I don't know if I have the patience to wait 7 or 8 hours. But like being there.
It's not like watching your first, you know, wild card playoff win in 29 years. It's going to be the same whether you go there in September or if you go there in December. So I don't know that you need to be there right away. I'm hoping that I'm just going to get Ricky on the phone and she's just going to,
that's right.
She's going to port right into the Wedway Radio podcast and I'm just going to vicariously be there. So I'm cool with that.
That's a good call. I might have to do the same thing. So speaking of Star Wars, and we'll wrap up the Star Wars talk here in a second, but Celebration happened this weekend up in Chicago. Brad was given a lot of good coverage, Brad Hughes, and I've enjoyed that, and others that were up there, Dennis Keithley. So what was there anything that really shocked you, surprised you, has you really excited? They had the ride vehicles for Rise of the Resistance. That's pretty neat.
I did see that, and I thought they looked a lot like Dinosaur or Indiana Jones at Disneyland, so I was kind of surprised at that. Looks like they're going to seat 8, 4, and 4. Did I see that right?
It looked like it. I mean, I didn't look that closely, but you're right. I mean, it kind of looked like I call them kind of like the dinosaur Jeeps, you know, kind of.
Yeah, like the Jeep. Exactly. So, so that was important. I'm really confused at what point on that attraction you're actually going to get on the vehicle. It sounds like they're going to, you know, you're going to join the resistance at some point, but like you're going to be in that giant hangar. Are you going to be on that attraction vehicle the whole time? Or is this something where you're going to walk through? And because people have said it's like a 30-minute experience, does that mean you're walking for part of the time and that kind of thing? I don't know. I'm really intrigued about that. That's kind of exciting to be able to wonder. But I'm excited, you know, the movie trailer came out this weekend as well on Friday. And so that's a really big moment because a lot of people thought that would be in the Super Bowl. And yet it comes out in a random weekend in April. but here it is, and we see it, and I'm a little weary of the title. Rise.
Yeah, I was the same way. I was, you know, like, it's episode 9, and now we're talking Rise of Skywalker. Yeah, that was kind of the same thing. Like, it's a little late for that. But wasn't the Emperor dead? I thought he was dead. I don't know. You know, like, it's just, but the cool thing is, here's the really cool thing for me. My daughter, who's at Mizzou, who's 22, you know, graduating next month, she's grown up with, like, you know, I took her out of school when she was, you know, young in elementary school to see the prequels. You know, we pulled her out and she slept through, you know, she was real little, actually too young to be there at midnight. Cause back then it was midnight showings.
It was.
And, you know, but I mean, immediately she texted me like, oh my gosh, is this the last one in the saga? And, you know, and is, oh, I told you that Rey was, you know, you know, and I'm like, you know, she's fired up because she's kind of a, you know, secondary Star Wars fan. But I mean, even that, she got excited within an hour of it releasing. So I think it's cool.
It's thrilling. I mean, and you know, what's interesting here is that you had 8, and I feel like enough time has passed where even people who maybe didn't love 8 as much as they love 7, you know, they look at this and now they're excited again. At least I am. And I had some problems with 8. I felt like it had some of the best Star Wars-y stuff in it that I'd ever seen and some of the worst.
I agree. I agree. Like, the Force doesn't work like that. I said a few times, but I like the movie.
The Force does change in every film, by the way. I mean, there's weird stuff that happens in Phantom Menace where the guys are like, Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon are like running through the ship and they like move back and forth real fast. You never see that in any other film. And so that was a George Lucas thing even. He changed the way the Force works. So I just feel like maybe it's because it was Rian Johnson and because it wasn't George Lucas or it wasn't J.J. Abrams that when he took liberties with the Force or with the story that people – maybe it just didn't settle as well as if it had been one of those other two, you know, sort of name brand guys. So with 9, you know, we've got a return to J.J. Abrams. We got a return to the Force Awakens storyline, it sounds like. And I just feel like, you know, fans of The Last Jedi are going to be disappointed because we're going to go back to what made The Force Awakens so great.
And let's be honest, if you're a Star Wars fan, you didn't like 8, you're still going to see 9 probably 17 times. So
of course,
come on now. It's just going to work.
Well, I think they, you know, I think they got shook a little bit with Solo. And, you know, I think Rogue One was an awesome story and I thought it was well acted and I thought it was really great, but just the proximity, the placement of that film, I think it really hurt it. I really do. And I think they really have figured out that they can't oversaturate even a Star Wars market. So
that's it.
Probably.
And I was so excited when they said they're after this movie, they're going to take kind of a little break. You know, and I'm fine. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but thank you, because I think the thing that made the Star Wars movies awesome for us in our generation was that they were scarce. And that was great.
I mean, even think of the prequels. Like, the prequels were the largest box office successes of their day because they came, you know, 15 years after the originals. And look at Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones season 8 debuts tonight, episode 1. Whether you're a Game of Thrones fan or not, it doesn't matter, because that is the topic of conversation on sports radio, on HLN, here on this show now. I mean, everybody's talking about why, because we had to wait for 18 months to see it and that anticipation was built.
I've never seen an episode of Game of Thrones. I'll be honest. Never.
Oh,
never. I don't, if it ain't sports or, you know, that's pretty much I don't watch. So I know. It's, I know. I don't need another thing. I don't have time in my life for really anything. So that's,
yes, you
that's
do.
Good.
Everyone has time for Game of Thrones because it's that good.
I mean, every ballpark now has a Game of Thrones dad. I know they're having the throne at Busch Stadium, like next homestand, and you get, if you're brave enough, you can sit on the big throne or something. I don't know. So whatever.
Well, every baseball stadium has a wall, so it makes perfect sense that they would all have a Game of Thrones.
All I know is winter is coming, which I don't want winter to come. I'm ready for spring, so whatever. All right, so Jessica's got a comment in the chat here. And again, you can call us 407-413-9395. You can get us off the Star Wars talk just by calling in. It says, going August 23rd to the 28th, just missing the opening of Galaxy's Edge. Normally, we are a rope drop family, but want to do something more leisurely due to heat and try starting the parks at dinner through close. Any tips? Is this a bad idea? Also, should we plan for busy crowds towards the end of our trip due to Galaxy's Edge? Have you ever done that? Because we are folks that always go first thing in the morning, we're out of the parks after we have lunch, and we go back after dinner, but we do go in the morning. We don't exclusively go at night.
So we're a family that splits up our day. We go in the morning, and then we leave, and we go to the pool, or we go to eat, or we go to the arcade, or we rest. We go watch that, you know, WDW Today channel in the resort. It was Stacy or the one just with the song and the time schedule.
I love that. I used to be the Stacy like channel. Now I'm all about the smooth Disney jazz and the
just
PowerPoint.
Chill.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's so good. So hanging out there, maybe taking a little nap or just hanging around the resort and then going back. So we are a morning and night family, but there's a huge gap between. I mean, we probably suck 4 hours out of the day just not being in the theme park unless we have some kind of ADR. So look at that right there. Yeah, so you can get that app on your phone or that website you can go to.
Yes. I love that app. It's so satisfying. I can't get it to turn off. Come on now.
But as far as, will Star Wars Galaxy's Edge affect your trip? What are the days of the week? That's what I would look at that you're going to be there because, you know, people are going to come in toward the end of the week, I would assume, for that opening. Okay, so it opens on a Saturday, August 31st. And you're leaving on a Wednesday, I don't think it's going to affect your trip all that much.
Yeah, I think
really
people going to a Galaxy's Edge are going to come in right before because they're going to want to stay a few days after.
I think so, too. So I don't think it's going to overwhelm you. There will be resort stayers. But remember, you know, school starts. I teach college. School starts on the 19th. So those people aren't going to be there. My kid starts elementary school on the 15th here in Missouri. That's not going to affect you. So that's going to pull a lot of people away from the parks anyway. That's actually a pretty good time for them to open Galaxy's Edge and for it not to be overwhelming.
Yes, I agree. Best time. And we start the first week of August in St. Louis. So there you go.
Do you really? Oh my God.
It's ridiculous. They just keep moving it back. It used to be, you know, when I first started, I'm old though. When I first started teaching, it was like Labor Day, you know.
And after Labor Day.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. All right. We have a caller on the line from down in Huntsville, or at least Alabama. I think Huntsville. Hey, how's it going?
Roll Tide. This is James J. How's it going, guys?
Roll Tide, James J. What's going on?
Hey, so we're going the first week of December, and this is going to be our first time staying on property, and we're going to be staying at Pop.
Nice.
What
good choice.
Would your suggestions be as far as the best way to travel to each park and all?
Well, in December, you're going to have the Skyliner.
You are.
That's what I was thinking. That would be for Hollywood Studios and Epcot, right?
Correct.
Right.
So what about for Animal Kingdom and Magic Kingdom? What would you think would be the best way? We've got a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Totally go. You always want to take the bus to the Magic Kingdom because it's going to drop you off right up front. Now you could do minivans, Uber, or a bus to Animal Kingdom. But to be honest, at Pop Century, you're not too far from Animal Kingdom. I would take the bus, and I'll tell you, maybe Matt can back me up on this. Kids love the Disney buses when they're that age because they don't have to sit in a car seat and there's people all around. Like Mallory, like that was her favorite ride was the bus ride. I'm telling you.
That's so true. It really is. And as Mike said, you're right there. If you want to be really close to that bus stop, you'd be at, is it 90s? Is that where you'd stay at Pop?
Yes. You'd be right there by the bus stops. You just cut across that one little parking lot.
Yeah. If you want to stay in the 90s buildings. Yeah. And so how old were your kids again?
2 and 5.
Oh man, that 5-year-old's gonna love that arcade. It is so good. My kid, we stayed there when he was about 6. It's a huge it's one of the best arcades on property. That food court is awesome too. I really love Pop with kids. I think, you know, we stayed there before we had kids and it was okay, but the kids love that resort, don't you think, Mike?
Yeah, you know what? If you want to be cheap like me, there's a free arcade game down by where you catch Magical Express at the far end of the checkout area. It plays Donkey Kong and Galaga, and it's free. So, they'll get you for $20 a pop in that arcade. It is fun, but I'm just saying, if you're tight, just go down to the free Donkey Kong machine.
Nice. And, Mike, I got to say, I'm kind of disappointed you hadn't seen Game of Thrones. You got to make that happen, man.
I feel like I'm already done because here I never saw an episode of Walking Dead. Because I'm not a big zombie guy. Now, Game of Thrones, I don't even have Netflix. So there's my thing.
You got to have HBO.
Game
Go
of Thrones isn't on Netflix.
Oh, see, occasionally I will borrow Paige's password if there's something I need to see. But that's about it. I probably shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, you got to make it happen, man.
Yeah, thank you for backing me up on that. I mean, it's just, I've watched every huge series. This one doesn't even compare to the other ones. I mean, if you like Star Wars, this is like Star Wars times 10. It's just so good.
Does Nick Saban?
And you
got to
start at the beginning.
Okay, start at the beginning. Okay,
start at the beginning. Absolutely. And you know what? I would, to be honest with you, you don't have to do it, but reading that first text from 1996, the George R. R. Martin text, will set the stage for everything that you're going to learn for the rest of the series. You only have to read that first one.
You guys are making this way too hard.
No.
No, it's not hard at all.
I got to read a book and watch 8 seasons of a show here now all of a sudden. I got homework.
You don't have to read it. You don't have to read it.
I still got to get in my tip for the travel agency by midnight tonight, and it's only got to be a paragraph, and I'm sweating that out like I'm a sixth grader late on a book report.
Just get the book on Audible and listen to it on your runs.
But then I can't listen to Wedway Radio while I'm running. You know what's up with that?
I didn't even edit one today. You'll be fine. Do it this week.
I will. All right. So Jeannie says in the chat here, she says, while staying at Pop, walk over to Art of Animation and see all the themed buildings. Your kids are going to love it. And the food court is great, too. We just lost James J. But yeah, definitely. And you know what? As great as the food court is over at Pop, it's even a little bit better. They have real china and real silverware over at Landscape of Flavors. So I'm right with them. All right. So yeah, I'll put that on my list. All right. 407-413-9395. Thanks for calling, James J. Appreciate talking to you. Let's see. So we had a question here. Have you ever been to STK at Disney Springs? I never have. I never think of this place. I've never even had it on my radar.
No, I've never been. I've been to the Edison. I've been to the Boathouse. I've been to, what's the Irish one?
Raglan Road.
Yep. I've been to Fulton's, or do they still call it that? I've been to lots of those table service, but I've never been to that one.
I haven't either. And you never hear anything about it ever. Like, I never do. And I hear about all the restaurants, I feel like.
It's not a chain, but it's the owner of STK has STKs in other major cities too, if I'm not mistaken. So, it's like there's one in New York, maybe there's one in Chicago. I want to say, and so it was just like another one of those. So I don't know that it's exclusive to Disney Springs, but I know that it is popular. So.
So where's your go-to when it comes to dining at Disney Springs? If you have to pick one, I still haven't been to the Edison. I'd like to go there sometime.
Ghirardelli.
I heard they don't give out the chocolate samples anymore.
No, but those shakes are amazing. So, no, I love that. I actually like the Boathouse. I actually really do. It's got that little boat museum off the back. They got some decent seafood there. They got some decent non-seafood there. There's plenty of seating. I feel like I can always get in, so that's always helpful. I'm trying to think of the new restaurants, what I've been to, and forgive me because I normally stay at Saratoga Springs, but we haven't stayed there all that much lately, so I haven't had time to walk over and try everything. But for the ones that have been there for a little while, all of those are pretty good, and generally the Boathouse is our go-to.
Now, Saratoga Springs is your home DVC resort, right?
It is, yeah, and they added that bridge a couple years ago, and they also added that other sort of causeway, that's what I call it, that like has alleviated traffic between the World of Disney store and where like the Disney Art of Disney store is. That is a huge upgrade. I mean, I've been going there for, you know, 10, 15 years now as a home resorter, and oh my gosh, it's so much better.
So where is your favorite place? You are DVC, so you can obviously stay at your home resort or go to any of the other DVC resorts, or, you know, even stay on cash anywhere else. I don't think you've ever mentioned this on any of your shows, but like, what is your favorite overall Walt Disney World resort if you had to pick one? Is it the Polynesian? I would guess it'd be the Polynesian for you, but maybe not.
I don't know if I like the Polynesian a lot. I really like Wilderness Lodge a lot. I wish it was closer to anything. You know what I mean? It's just like, it just doesn't it's
not
feel that,
well, if you take the boat to the Magic Kingdom, that's not too bad.
That's the best part, but like then every other resort, it I mean, I guess far, Epcot's yeah. fairly close, but it shares a bus. It shares a bus route.
Yeah, and I hate that about the, you know what, because I've occasionally will stay at a deluxe for a few nights. And the one thing that just gets me every time is the bus service is better at Art of Animation and Pop Century, far better than a Beach Club, Yacht Club, Boardwalk, Polynesian, Grand Floridian, or a Wilderness Lodge or Contemporary. Like, that drives me nuts. You're paying such high rates and your bus service isn't that great.
It's crazy. It's as like they don't think we're going to use the buses or something. Like, oh, I've got a limousine or something I can use. Okay, so I love Wilderness Lodge as a resort. And is it the Copper Creek area? Yeah, all those upgrades are really nice. It's a better resort than it was even, you know, 3 years ago. I think the Boardwalk is actually my favorite resort. I know the Coney Island pool is very family friendly. I wish there were other family friendly things there. There's no real arcade that's worth a darn. It's lacking a few things, but I really love the Boardwalk. I mean, it's awesome. It's so good.
That's really high on my list. And the funny thing is Boardwalk, I've said this on our show a few times, that with Boardwalk, I never, ever considered staying there, like, until we got a group rate a few years ago for the marathon. And so I was like, well, I'm doing the Dopey. It's in the right place. You know, and it was the only one we had in the Epcot area. I'm going to give it a shot. And I just fell in love with that place. I love the rooms. I like the excitement of the Boardwalk, even though we don't go to Jelly Rolls or anything. But, I mean, we would go down to the snack carts. We go down to Ample Hills.
So cool.
Oh, just to walk and to walk to the studios in Epcot. I love that area. I mean, I think it's
better
than
Magic
Kingdom.
You can walk to two theme parks. Yeah, absolutely. And the pool is nice. It's got a slide. My kid loves it. The clown pool, the Coney Island style pool. There's a little bar down there if you're not with kids. And, you know, it used to operate like two different resorts. My brother worked there in the mid to late 90s. And I've said this on the Wedway radio show. And he used to say is when they built DVC, it was one of the first DVC additions at a resort. And so they used to treat it like two different resorts, which is crazy. But if you stay on that side where the Coney Island pool is, that's the DVC side. And the other side was supposed to be the more luxury side.
Nice. So here's kind of an interesting question for you, because we have a few minutes left here. Nate did do the college program, and he talked a lot about, you know, working at the Sci-Fi Dine-In and other, you know, adventures he had down there. And I've just heard so many stories about the college program from friends that did it. And I do regret that I didn't have those experiences. I stayed back in sheltered Missouri and didn't go have fun in Florida. But, you know, did you ever think about following his footsteps and doing that too? I'm surprised you didn't do it as well.
You know, we have a sister between us in age, and she did it, and I almost did it, but I was already living down there. So I didn't do it because by the time it would have been time for me age-wise to do it. My dad lived in Tampa. So like I went down there and lived for a couple of years, and it was kind of like the college program. It's just, I didn't have the same camaraderie as probably he did. I didn't make lifelong friends as he did. And I didn't get to work at Disney. I think that's one of my great regrets, is I should have done that. It would have given me more knowledge for the podcast too.
Yeah, I think the thing, you know, because I've gone on tours and stuff, and I eat those up, you know, Keys to the Kingdom, Main Street, Marceline to the Magic Kingdom, the steam trains tour. I love that stuff. But
yeah,
it's one of those things that I think you really do have to do it at that age, you know, where it's pre-family, pre-huge responsibilities in life. And you can really, because that's, I worked at Space Camp for a couple summers as an in the education program, and I was a little too old to do it, but we were all kind of too old to do it because we were teaching teachers. And it was really a blast to do that. But I just think that, it's an opportunity. I would encourage folks that are in college, because that time of your life goes so quick, and you're going to get real world experience with people from all over the world that you really probably couldn't get anywhere else.
Yeah. And sooner than later, you're going to be locked into a job and you're never going to be able to do it, and you won't be in college anymore. So that's one extra semester, maybe even two extra semesters. And I think that it would, I mean, I think, am I too old for college?
Mike Bankhead, you're never too old. You know what? Disney says chase those dreams.
I think anybody who can do it should do it. I think you get a lot of great experience out of it, and you get to live at Walt Disney World. I mean, it's just the coolest thing, I think.
It is. Yeah, I do regret that, because I love seeing things from the opposite side. Like when I worked at Space Camp, it was just great seeing, you know, I was giving the tours of the museum to the teachers rather than just, experiencing them, you know, taking them in.
So, right.
Yeah, it was really, I wish I would have done that. But, you know, what can you do? So, all right, well, we have a couple minutes left. So 407-413-9395, 407-413-9395. We'll try to squeeze in a couple more calls. But, okay, so let's talk about your shows real quick one more time, because people are asking. So you had Wedway Radio going for 10 or 11 years. You started 3028, and then Kevin kind of came along, and you guys have really started making that weekly. But everybody asks, and I don't know if you want to directly give this answer, 3028. What? Give people a hint. Like, that's such an obscure name, because, and I worry about you guys, because you guys have an awesome show, but I wonder if folks don't find it, because, like this Disney podcast, it's like called 4217, or it's called Hut Hut Hike, you know, Omaha. I don't know what it's called.
I can't change the name. I mean, it is what it is now. It's just, we're kind of stuck with the name. If I'd have known anyone that was going to ever listen to it, I would have called it like The Disney Show with Lispery. I mean, like, I would have been a little more direct about what it is, or whatever. It's on your hat. It's actually on your, it's an address on your hat. Oh. So it's an address in Kansas City that was important to the legacy of Walt. And it's not the Laugh-O-Gram address. It's just down the street on Bellefontaine Avenue. That I can tell you what it is. It's not a secret.
Okay.
It's 3028 Bellefontaine, and it's a place where Walt lived with his dad when he did the paper route before he goes to World War One as a medic. So, yeah. So that's what it's from, and that's the big secret. No one's ever going to find the show because of it or whatever. but that's – I mean, I wish I could change the name, but I can't change the name now.
I know. I hear you, boy. It's impossible to change stuff. Once you like, if you have a typo, you're just done. It's going to be that forever.
Yeah, so that's the name. That's where it comes from. It is a Kansas City thing, and I'm a Kansas City person. And so it's an important – I didn't want to use the Laugh-O-Gram address because I thought that would be too easy, I guess. But it was the last place Walt lived with his parents.
So how much in Kansas City is left that you can go, you know, do a tour and actually appreciate as a Disney fan?
So behind me, look behind me, and you see my picture up there is Kansas City Union Station, which got a refurbishment in around 2000. And there's an up house right in the way. Hold on.
gotta move the up house. That's really not in Kansas City for everybody tuned in.
So Kansas City Union Station is... I know. Why wouldn't I have that up there? So Kansas City Union Station is literally where Walt comes in and out on the train, right? So you can see all that. I mean, that's a Disney thing. If you love Walt Disney, that's a cool Disney thing. He showered there, and you can still go in those bathrooms if you want.
So you could shower where Walt showered.
You can see that. Now you can just use the restroom.
Oh, there you go. Shower. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So the rail yards are all there. That's where the streetcar drives by and stuff. And then up the street is the Laugh-O-Gram. That's on 31st Street, right down the street from the Liberty Memorial, which is the only World War One monument in the country, which is amazing. It's kind of like your arch, but we have our own thing.
Nice.
And so it's right down the street. Laugh-O-Gram's there. The company or the organization, Thank You Walt Disney, saved the structure of that building, but they were never able to do more with it. And so they haven't raised the funds to make it the cultural center that they wanted to. So that's there. Then Walt Elementary School is right down the street too, next to Bellefontaine Street, where his house was. And behind the house on Bellefontaine, this is the reason why I called it the 3028. Behind the house of Bellefontaine is Walt's garage. It's not the garage that he had in Marceline or the barn. It's not the garage that he had at Carrollwood Drive. It's the garage he had where he borrowed the camera and he starts working on the Alice comedies. That's literally why we...
The one where where he backs up the film and does all the trick stuff? Is that...
Yes.
Yeah.
So that garage is still there too. And I don't know if you've ever seen, you know, down here in Springfield, this is pretty common that between streets, like behind houses, you have this like access road. It's like a dirt road that will go behind houses. That garage has a little access road that goes behind it. So you can literally drive right by that garage. It's not in a great part of town though. So I would caution you.
That sounds a lot like St. Louis, boy. There's some cool stuff, but you got to be brave.
you may not want to do that at certain times of day or whatever, but it's, you know, some of those areas can be rough. But that, I mean, so there's a few other things. And if you drive around town, there's also a cinema where Walt's first commercials appeared that's still there. I mean, there's all kinds of cool Walt-y stuff, but you just kind of have to look for them.
All right, that's awesome. So we have our last caller of the night. Hey, who's joining us? They're listening to the radio, just like on radio here. We'll catch up here in about 3 seconds. Hey, who's joining us? Watch, they're going to come on just in 3, 2, 1. Here it goes. I hear it. 240 area code. We're going once, going twice. Are you there? All right, give us a call back. Give us a call back if you're not there. One more time. You there? I can hear myself. All right. Give us a call back real quick if you can, and we'll get you on. But Jeannie's asking in the chat, there's a Walt mural in Kansas City. What street is that on? She might want to visit that, she said. Do you know?
I think it's on 31st Street. 31st. It's right, let's see. I'm pretty sure it is. And that's the same street as the Laugh-O-Gram. Let me double check. I don't want to give you bad information.
Got to hit this button. Too many mice. Hey, who's joining us?
Hey, this is Dale from Maryland.
Hey, Dale. How's it going?
Hey,
glad
Dale.
To have you.
Hey, I just joined late. I guess I finally got in.
You did. You were pranking us the first time, but we got you on the second time. So what's going on?
Well, I just wanted to say between Matt's two podcasts and your podcast, they're the highlights of the week for me.
Wow.
Thank you very much for saying that. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Question I have is, and this has probably been asked a million times, but I've never heard the exact answers. Where does the name 3028 come from? I get the 28 part, but where's the 30, and why is it all spelled differently, and some numbers and some words? Or
it was a terrible idea. I don't know. I need to just make it the numbers. You know, I was just explaining. It's a street address in Kansas City where Walt's garage was when he first starts working on the Alice comedies. And it was a house that his parents owned or leased in the teens before he goes to World War I as a medic. So it's there. It's on Bellefontaine Avenue in Kansas City.
I'm sorry if this was asked before.
No, it's okay.
That's okay.
That's how things go around here. I remember I was a sixth grade school teacher. This was my life for 17 years.
No, I appreciate you asking. No, I forgot that people don't know what it means most of the time. I'm just take it as, you know, for granted that someone might actually know, but nobody ever knows. And it's okay. Like, it's a very obscure thing.
All right. Well, have a good night, guys.
You too.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for the compliment. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Have a good night. All right. So let's, before anybody else.
I think it's really cool that, like, in the same vein of.
He's calling back. I don't know if he meant to.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, caller, you there again? Hello? I don't think he meant to call back. Go ahead. Sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
In the same way that, like, this obscure dude comes out of Missouri and, like, becomes Walt Disney, it's really cool, I think, that just the two shows that we have, or even the three shows that we have in Missouri, Be Our Guest podcast, that we're from the other, you know, opposite parts of the state. And now Springfield, of course, is included as well. And that people will, you know, from other states listen to our shows. I just think that's a cool thing because Missouri is just kind of an unassuming state.
I think so too. And I mean, I don't know, because again, you grew up on the west side of Missouri where you have more, you know, real experience and in contact with Walt Disney, where in St. Louis, he didn't do a whole lot, even though we were supposed to get we're really proud because we were supposed to get Walt Disney World, you know, like that was like the thing, you know, except for the beer thing in August Bush and all that. That's always what everybody says. But, you know, like we do have a pride, even though Walt wasn't here super long. I know that we, as fourth graders, we always take our kids, our students to Jefferson City, to the state capitol, and we see this mural and Walt Disney's in there. And I mean, we really do. I mean, we're proud that we have a connection to Walt Disney. And I think that's a cool thing for our state, even though it's not a huge, you know, he didn't do a lot here, but his formative years were here. And I'm proud of that.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, between Marceline and Kansas City and then later St. Louis, I mean, go to Laclede's Landing. I mean, that's basically the future site of the St. Louis project. And in a D23 magazine I got like 10 years ago, those plans are laid out on Laclede's, like from the 60s. And it's really cool. So even if there's not a Walt thing there, if you go down to Laclede's, that's where it was going to be. It's cool to like match the map with where you walk around down there. I think it's neat that St. Louis is part of that too. I really do.
It is. If you go down there again, watch your back. You can have a good time, but again, watch your back. I'm just, so, gotta be careful in the big city. I'm just saying, I go down there for ball games, but I'm always got my head on a swivel. That's just me.
Yes.
I'm not a big city guy.
Hey, somebody asked me about that mural. It is, I believe it is 31st and Troost in Kansas City. And so Troost is known as a rougher avenue in downtown Kansas City. But, you know, I've driven through there many, many times. But that's where that mural is. It's a giant Walt Disney's next to Martin Luther King. And it's really neat, actually.
Today's show is definitely not brought to you by the Missouri Department of Tourism.
You could go there, but you don't want to go there. That's every place that we've mentioned.
Oh, well, what can you do? We're brutally honest. Anyway, so we're going to wrap this up. So, Matt, tell us where, you know, what's coming up with Wedway Radio with the 3028, and where can folks, they all listen, but if they haven't, where can they check everything out?
Okay, 3028 is easy. It's 30 spelled like the letter 30, and then 20 are the numbers, and then 8 spelled out again. So THIRTY 20, and then EIGHT 3028. You can find that on iTunes or Stitcher, And what do we have there? Lots of fun stuff. Listeries and histories of Disney. A lot of contemporary stuff. We don't do news, like breaking news or anything on there. So it's kind of an evergreen show. You can go back and listen to any of those at any time. And then over on Wedway Radio, I've got two or three series planned for season 10. So if I never do any more Wedway Radios after season 10, I want to end it on a very high note. Right now, I plan to do it at least for another year. So that's the plan. And Wedway Radio, you can find that on iTunes and Stitcher as well. Sometimes Nate's going to be on there in this final season too. We haven't worked out when that's going to be, but I'm going to do a really cool series on Disneyland's Discovery Bay, which is one of Tony Baxter's first projects with Claude Coates. And basically what you see now in Star Wars Land was going to be Discovery Bay back there. And it had some amazing concepts, stuff that ends up in Tokyo Disneyland and stuff that ends up in Tokyo Disney Sea and in Epcot. And so there's really cool attractions. I'm working on a show for that. Probably a series of about three shows. So, yeah, check that out. Ricky comes on there with me. Ricky Niblett, you might know her on this show.
We kicked her out of the country, but yeah.
Yeah, right. When she comes back, if she makes it back through customs, she's going to come back and do some news with me too. So there's kind of it's very interesting. There's an interesting Be Our Guest podcast, Wedway Radio crossover that's happening now. And at some point, maybe it's just going to be a whole, just one show with like 50 people, you know.
Yeah, come like, 2027, it'll just be one big show.
One giant panel. It'll be like CNN at 6 p.m.
I am glad to hear, though, that Nate's going to come back for some shows because, again, you know, as you listen to podcasts, here's the thing I like about podcasts. We kind of wrap up the show today. You know, I think that I listen to podcasts exclusively every morning when I go out for my run. You know, I go out at 5 o'clock in the morning, still dark, you know, and it's just good to have what I consider a friend in my ear to not have to, you know, worry about news or anything that's stressful, just things I enjoy. I listen to that. But over the years, you develop a relationship with the folks you listen to. And, you know, I've heard you and Nate go back and forth for, you know, years and years and years. So it's good to hear that he is going to come back for a few shows. And, you know, I hope he's doing well. I think a lot of folks, you know, when somebody just kind of disappears from a show, you're always hoping for the best for them. So I know he's really busy with all of his, he does a lot of coaching and teaching and all that stuff. And I know that is hugely time demand, huge time demand there, but I'm glad he's doing well.
Yeah, and at some point it just comes down to, you know, time. And I think when we started the show, our lives were totally different than they are today. I know mine is. But I do. I mentioned at the beginning of the show that I have a different schedule than he does. And he might be a teacher and have parts of the summer off. But those are months that, you know, he's doing stuff with his son and scout camp and that kind of stuff. So, you know, I don't begrudge him at all for taking that time with his family. And there may be a time when I have to do that. So at this point, though, he's, you know, he's going to come back around sometimes on Wedway Radio. And I can't wait to have him back on the show. But for now, you know, in an effort to put out a regular show again, you know, I'm seizing control and I'm going to, you know, try to put out and produce some really good shows. And I hope people will listen because I do put a lot of time and effort into them to make sure that they're very listenable. At least that's my hope.
They are. They're great. Well, thanks so much, Matt, for coming on the show. And hope we can do this again, maybe over the summertime or into the fall, because it's fun talking to the listeners. I love this stuff.
I totally agree. And this is one of the few chances I get to do that. So I'm really pleased that you had me on here and that we had some crossover listeners that I got to talk to also. So thanks, Mike. And for you that listened, we appreciate you too.
I appreciate that. All right. Don't forget, today's show is brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. So when it comes time for your next Disney adventure, check them out over at themagicforless.com. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Give us a follow on social media, on Twitter and Instagram. We're simple. We're just at Be Our Guest Pod and at Be Our Guest Mike. I'll be heading out to Walt Disney World here in a couple weeks. So you know how I tweet. And I'll be tweeting and posting a lot of pictures because I'm down there for a cheerleading competition. So it takes my daughter, no kidding, like an hour just to get her hair done for these competitions. So I'll have an hour just to walk around the resort and, you know, take pictures and stuff like that. So I got to get out of the hairspray cloud that'll be over the hotel. So check it out, Be Our Guest Mike on Twitter and Instagram, and of course, Facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. And that's going to do it for today's show. So I hope you enjoyed today's live show. We'll do this again on the third Sunday in May. We'll get together and take your calls. So until then, for Matt Parrish from the 3028 and Wedway Radio, I'm Mike Rollman from the Be Our Guest Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great week. Stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.